Body, mind,
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio is proud to present, live from the Wandering Owl in Jackson, Michigan, Pagan Spirit Shamanic Life, the show to ask and get answers about your spiritual path, with your host, James Stovall. The call-in number is 646-378-0378.
Thank you, Reverend Tommy Diablo, for that awesome opening. It is Wednesday, June 11th, 2014, and you're listening to Pagan Spirit Shamanic Life here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Now, I've got a really good show tonight. I'm really excited about this one because this show I'm going to be bringing you a little bit more of a shamanic bent than I have with previous shows. A lot of the other shows we've talked about more of the pagan aspects of things. And in this show tonight, we're going to be talking a lot about the fire at Michigan Pagan Fest. Michigan Pagan Fest is coming up this coming weekend, and I, along with Saren Thodenson and Joyweed Medic, will be attending the Sacred Fire, which is, we've done this several years in a row now, and it's a very exciting event, and always interesting things happen around the fire. So I thought that we'd kind of try a little bit of a digital version of this fire this time and have some of those people come in and chat with me about some of the experiences around that fire. Now, before I go too much further in, I want you guys to really quickly do me a favor. I want you to share this show with a friend. So get online, get on Facebook, and share this show. Share it on Twitter. Tell someone else about it. There are people that are interested in the topics that we're talking about, just like they're interested in the topics that come up in Body, Mind, Spirit magazine. And so you want them to tune into this show and enjoy the experience with us. And that's the best way to grow the show and to grow the network and make sure things keep happening. And you can follow me on Twitter, James at the Owl on Twitter. So at Michigan Pagan Fest this weekend, Facebook tends to use up a lot of my data. You know, it's a little bit of a data hog, but I'm going to be live tweeting through the whole weekend. Now, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be on Twitter 24/7 or that there'll even be interesting things to say. But given the nature of watching the Sacred Fire and how we are sometimes up very late at night, all by yourself, trying to stay awake, you could possibly find me at Twitter at 3 in the morning as I'm watching the Sacred Fire. So who knows, if you can't come to Michigan Pagan Fest, make sure you check that out. If you can't come to Pagan Fest this weekend at all, but if you're in the Jackson area, stop in our store, The Wandering Owl, thewanderingowl.com, and we're going to have Amy in this weekend, and Amy is a very good intuitive and tarot card reader, so make sure you check her out as well. I also want to mention that this Friday we've got a really interesting event coming up as well because we have Mercury getting ready to go retrograde, which I know a lot of you just groaned at that thought, but we're combining that with a full moon. So all you people who are afraid of Fridays the 3rd, now we're going to throw in the extra whammies of a full moon and Mercury retrograde. Won't that be fabulous? It should be very interesting. It'll be a great time to be around that sacred fire because who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be pretty crazy. And then, you know, the Friday after opening ceremony, we'll be going through the entire day. And later in that evening, I'll be doing a Peruvian fire ceremony, which I might talk about in a little bit as well. But I want to join right now. I've got online, we've got Joyweed Medic. And then also calling from all the way out in California is my friend Craig, who also spent a couple of years helping Sarah and I watch that sacred fire. So hello, Joy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. And hi, Craig, how are you?
Hi, doing well, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. I'm so excited you both got to call in. This is great.
Yeah, this is awesome. Hi, Craig. I don't think I ever met you.
I don't think we have, but if you're on Jim's show, then obviously it's wonderful to meet with you.
Well, it's very nice to meet with you, too. Thank you.
Well, you know, the first couple Pagan Fest fires, it was Sarah and myself and Craig, and then what happened is Craig went out to California to accept a very prestigious position. He had a day job that he had to maintain, and he went out there to do a very important job, and so that's when you came in, Joyen. But, you know, it's been great. Both groups, both triads, I guess, are different but similar. It's been a very interesting experience, so one I've enjoyed quite a bit, I have to say.
Well, I always enjoy the time I get to hang out with you at the fire. That's always very nice.
It's amazing the profound wisdom that comes up, you know what I mean? It's just, you don't even pre-plan it, but all of a sudden there's these huge revelations and things going on. It's always been amazing.
Yeah,
I entirely agree.
So
go ahead, Joy.
So we can go a little bit further. Yeah, we'll have to be careful tonight with two of us, three of us, and maybe even four when Saren calls in. We'll have to be courteous to each other, but which is hard because we all like to talk. I know us. But why don't we get started? Actually, Joy, why don't you start? We'll go ladies first. We'll give a little introduction to people who might not be familiar with you and your work or your background.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joy Wedmedic. I'm an elder now, and so I've been on a shamanic path most of my life. I also work as a medium and a shamanic healer. Nine years ago, I was initiated in Lukumi Orisha worship as a priestess of Yamaya, so I incorporate all that into my work. I've also studied a lot with Native elders. So I have a very mixed background, but have always been blessed to continue sharing what I know with other people and being in situations where it's important to have a sacred space, whether it's through mediumship work or readings or tending fire or doing sweats or working in Orisha worship. So it's been really a great honor to be able to tend the sacred fire again at Michigan Pagan Fest.
Great. And Craig, would you mind?
Sure. I've been on the path for at least a decade now, if not more, depending on when exactly you count. I guess some could say all my life. And for those who don't know, I trained partly under Mateo, your teacher, and under another teacher as well by name of Maria in the Peruvian tradition. And I've been kind of a little bit dancing here and there among other traditions. There seems to be fascinating things that different paths like to focus on. I mean, you have meditation from people who are more on a Buddhist path. I love hanging out with the Wiccans. They always have something very insightful to say that it's a little bit different than what I would thought about myself. So it's and then just kind of following spirit whenever there's something going on and pray that it's the feather rather than the velvet-lined brick.
Yeah. Boy, I've had my share of those velvet-lined bricks.
Oh, goodness.
Good.
They are common, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, that's kind of what I appreciate so much. I have to admit, it's really funny because other than, I think, my first Pagan Fest where I was not tending the sacred fire, I was hoping Andrea Vitimus, amongst other people, help do some other workshops. I don't get to see a lot of the festival, and I find that a really a mixed blessing in some ways because there's some fabulous workshops and speakers that I miss out on. But at the same time, boy, I really appreciate that we're given the space to set up a sacred fire and set the intention of doing healing and just and teaching even, and let it flow that entire weekend. It's really amazing. The longer that you let it go, the more profound things keep happening. And I don't know, I don't know how you guys feel, but I've always found this one of my favorite times of year.
Yes. I agree.
It's almost like a combination of like a if you're about around the spot, fire, it's like a spiritual retreat in a way, in the middle of this gigantic, you know, festival that's going on. So you have all this activity, and that, remember the one time we had that entire kind of lake of water between us and the and everybody else, and that really brought people over who only felt called to the fire. So that really made for not necessarily isolated, but you definitely had people coming with very specific purposes to the fire.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes, I think we had that a little bit last year because it was so hot in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that we were there and we were all like kind of picking up what was going to be happening. And I remember saying that someone was going to come that they really needed to talk. I remember it was really hot. And they
right.
made it all the way out into the field, and it was really hot, and we had a big, long conversation. So, yeah, I think that having it there allows people to get some kind of a focus that they can kind of gather up everything that they're experiencing and then realize, oh, wait a minute, it's there. You know, it gives them a place to ground.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, the first time around, like you said, Craig, we were on the other side of a lake practically. People had to really struggle to get to us. We were on our own little island, and then they've tried moving us closer, and yet even though we're closer, we still are in a funny way isolated. I always find it interesting that people come out and they need healing. They might need a few words. They might need some help grounding. They might need something along those lines, and then some of them will spend hours, and then others, they just wander away and they're gone.
Right, right. They wander up, they look around, and they wander away.
And I absolutely love how organic it is. And that's one of the things, like, if you want the structure and you need that type of thing, go into one of the classes. There's lots of great teachers there. But if you're not quite certain what you need, if you need something a little more organic, that's then definitely go to the fire and visit it. You know, it seems like the right people are always there at the right moment.
Yes,
yeah,
that's true.
I've been telling people, if they need healing, just come to the fire. Really, we can't
make
any promises.
That this year.
Yeah, I mean, we can't make any promises. I never do. But if people come, it's astounding because it might not be one of us, but it might be somebody else there. They might end up getting just what they need.
Right, or the fire itself, or just the community, the space.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
And the conversation changes. Yeah. Especially at 2 a.m., it's a very different conversation than, say, you know, around, you know, 8 o'clock or 10.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, first thing in the morning is so much different than, like, main ceremony versus, like you said, 2 or 3 in the morning. The conversations are just so different.
Yes. I enjoyed having the time there. What I really like about it is, because I'm there for an extended length of time, I really enjoy that I can just start a conversation. And I love that, you know, like it's because you're in a sacred space and you're thinking about things that are more about sacred space or about personal growth or spirituality. There isn't a sense of being uncomfortable about just starting a different conversation about what a person does on their path or how they're relating to the weather at the moment. And I love that there's that automatic connection that can happen.
Yeah, and to take that a step further, Joy, to kind of piggyback off of you, another thing I appreciate is how you don't have to speak if you don't want to. The silence is not a bad thing, so it can go both ways.
Yes, I agree. It's just I'm speaking from my experience last year because we were all like kind of in this mellow space in the middle of the day, and then all of a sudden I realized I'm with two other people who I really value their work, and I had the opportunity to ask them a lot of questions. And that really meant a lot to me, you know. So that's where I was speaking from. But you're right. The quietness of it and the consistency of it is very, like, healing and whole feeling.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about learning from people, not only for the conversation, but, like, when I was Jim, for example, I just think there's another way we learned about each other because of that shared silence, too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're not just healing people that come up to the fire either. We've learned and worked on each other so much as well. Everybody's equal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, and I noticed working with you, Jim, that you have a real ability to maintain that space really consistently. And I really admired that last year when we did the fire.
Well, I do have to give a lot of credit to someone that, hey, look who it is. I'm going to click on a button here, and that way we can get one more voice in the conversation because we don't have
cool.
enough now. And I want to welcome in Sarah.
More than merrier.
The last one here. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice again.
So now,
yes.
Now, can everybody keep up with this conversation? I almost feel sorry for the listeners at this point in time. You guys are going to get your heads spun. So. I should remind people, too, really quick, if you guys have a question about the sacred fire, or since we have three really qualified people and myself on the line, if you've got any questions about shamanism, you can give a call in. Our guest call-in number tonight is 877-497-2931. So if you have any questions, feel free to call in. Comments about the sacred fire experience that has happened to you while you've been with us at Michigan Pagan Fest. So I'll take a real quick, I want to have Sarah kind of introduce himself a little bit and give a little bit about his background for all the listeners. And then I'm going to ask you guys all maybe a question about your favorite experience so far with tending the fire, the one thing that really sticks in your mind the most. So, Sarah, if you would like to do an introduction for yourself, that'd be great.
Sure thing. I am Sarent Odinson. I am a Northern Tradition shaman. I currently work with Jim every now and again at the Wandering Owl doing rune readings. I'm a facilitator for a Northern Tradition study group up here in Southeast Michigan, and graduated from Eastern Michigan University with a BS in psychology.
And when you say Northern Studies, you're studying under Galena currently, right? Who is one of the preeminent people in that field? Is that would you say that's correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so everybody, who wants to take a shot at their favorite experience here at the Sacred Fire, something that really jumps out? We'll try to be careful to not talk about anybody else's name specifically. We'll kind of leave a little bit of anonymity if we possibly can. Wow, somebody's sitting next to an ice cream truck. What was that?
Oh, sorry, I'm outside, so that's that was a plane. It's still very active here in California. Sorry about that.
Well, I imagine it's a little bit earlier in the afternoon than it is here. So, anybody who wants to go first with a?
I could go first. I have a couple things that I really enjoyed about the fire. The first one is the welcoming feeling, because I attended the fire last year with Sarent and Jim, and who's online, and it was very welcoming for me, and I went into this whole thing last year where I realized that I was falling into elderdom, and so I was having a very hard time with heat and drinking and food and all that stuff, and they, just trying to get comfortable with being there, and they were very welcoming about that, and I noticed that they're able to maintain that space in that way the whole time, which allowed me to find my own footing, feeling like I was in a different position in my life, and I really appreciated that very much. And I also had an experience where they went to a panel discussion, and I was left to tend the fire. And in my experience, the fire was a little hotter than what I'm used to, being more with the Norse things and the different herbs and things that were used. And so they went to this discussion, and I goofed on the fire. I broke up the fire by accident, and it took me a while to reconnect that space between, all three of our energies and to maintain what they had built. And that was a really profound moment for me to realize how much everything was so connected. There was a lot to take into consideration because I was more used to like a sweat lodge fire or something. And so that was a good experience for me to be able to know that it was fine, and also to reset the space so that it would work for everyone that was at the gathering, including the two people that I was doing the fire with. So that's what I brought out of last year very much.
Wow.
Ooh. Last year was really intense for me. The highlight for me was actually there's this gigantic rainstorm. I think it was Saturday. And I believe Jim were asleep for that.
Yeah, I was sleep. That was my sleep shift. So.
Yes, it was. So the sky basically opened up, and there was lightning strikes all around us. And I'm panicking because I'm really worried that the fire's going to go out. So I'm throwing all kinds of fire because the sky had just opened up and there's this curtain of rain and there's lightning and there's wind. And then I look up in between the lightning strikes and it looks like the sky is starting to make that familiar cone shape. I'm thinking, oh, I've made an oath to this fire that I'm going to keep it burning. So I'm burnt a lot of wood tonight, to the point of where they were seeing it all the way up in registration.
Oh, and wow.
Being there in that moment with the fire and, you know, trying to be the person that doesn't let it go out, you know? It just
Yeah, you did an awesome job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And just connecting with the fire in that final moment was just amazing for me.
It was blazing. I think for my athlete, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Well, the interesting part was coming back and then having you tell me about it and seeing, like, the strength in that fire that you had maintained the whole night and how, like, people, different people had weathered that storm in different ways, but there was this grounded feeling in the camp, I think, because I really felt it was because you were so committed to maintaining that.
Thank you. And there were times where I was wondering, you know, are we going to have a touchdown? Because, I mean, the clouds were starting to amble that way. And I remember earlier in the day I felt the need to prostrate myself and pray to Odin, please don't let this fire blow away, and please, you know, be gentle with us, Father. And
yes, and then you got lightning.
I'm trying to understand why there's so many times this happens, because I recall we had a similar instance ourselves during the day, that a tornado threat, and then we had to keep the fire going.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my goodness. We had to,
wow.
I mean, I remember throwing all the wood that we could on that sucker, and we were I remember we were told we had to evacuate, so here we are trying to get the mixing the fire was going to be okay while we were not physically present, at least, and that thing was blazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we built it up to such a point where we could watch it even from the shelter area.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think my favorite moment, though, it was working with you, actually, Jim, because when we – you know how I love throwing mountains on people, and we've had more than one instance where we did that, and it's just an incredible experience, and it's very humbling to be a part of that, you know, somebody's healing process on that level.
It's even more humbling to have the mountain thrown in your head.
Well, it was an amazing thing to witness. I'll just say that.
Well, you missed out, you said, because you missed out because I basically had myself get thumped last year. It was I had come to Pagan Fest knowing that we were going to be sitting in the sun, right? So I had very dutifully decided that it was time to get a new hat, right? So what an innocent prospect, right? We must get a hat to protect ourselves from the sun while we were outside all this weekend. And I brought this to the hat to the fire and wore it most of the weekend. Well, little did I know what I was getting into when I asked the Santeria priestess and a northern priest to bless this hat.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome.
But so intense. It was amazing. It was amazing. And, you know, I like to think that I'm no slouch when it comes to dealing with some of this stuff. And at some point in time, I had to look at Terrence and say, we need to stop now. I'm full. My head is about to crack open. I'm done.
Everybody has their limits.
Are you sure, Jim? There's more spirits here.
It was a good hat. It had a lot. It had
oh,
a lot
wow.
To carry.
Yeah.
has looked a little battered since then. I mean, it's gone through an entire season now, so it's a little bit rougher shape than it was. But it's amazing how many compliments it still gets. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there.
Oh, it was. It was fabulous. Well, let me ask you guys a little bit different question then. Since we all have primarily, you know, we have different ways of approaching things. Even Craig and I are within the same Peruvian tradition, but yet we approach things differently. What do you think is the most important aspect of building that relationship with fire? If you were a newer type person and you wanted to go out and you wanted to know what makes a fire sacred, what would you tell them? What approach would you take this?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I stumped them all.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be polite.
Please, go ahead.
I approach it like most things that when I do that kind of work, I want to feel the space and understand what's there and where the balance is. Where the needs might be, where there's something that needs to be expressed. And then for me, I spend time with choosing the original set of the fire, the original logs that are going to be placed, the way they're placed. And I know that you both used a lot of herbs in the fire, which was new for me. And so watching that whole thing set down, like being very focused and very present in everything that was going on in that space, that's the most important thing for me. So I would describe it shamanically as connecting with the environment, to everything in nature, to the people, to, you know, what we would call all of our relations, the space and, you know, the land, the trees, and getting that to kind of solidify into a way that it can have its own voice and still speak for everybody that's there. That's how I would describe that.
Yeah, the way that I approach the fire is it's an ancestor, not the first ancestor. Any fire that you connect with, you're connecting to the first ancestor. Every fire is connected. So first is the mindful approach of you're approaching the eldest ancestor when you're building a fire, and the herbs are offerings, of course, the way that you fast before you do it, before you make a fire is important, because having that whole body and mind presence and soul present for that experience and for that weekend is really, for me, where everything begins. And if you've done everything right, the physical culmination of the fire lasting through the weekend is your relationship just growing as you place wood on it, as you initially start the fire.
Yes, that's really nice, Arant.
Thank you.
I don't disagree with anything either one of you said. I think from my experience, at least if I'm working with somebody new, it's about intention that's what I like to emphasize, and talking about just trusting your intuition. I mean, a lot of us have grown up not trusting ourselves, not trusting our intuition, and I think a lot of our shamanic practices are all about reconnecting with that, you know, the intuitive side of ourselves that is more connected to nature, to the ancestors, to the land and everything. So the rest of that, I think, develops with time, but just having that, setting that intention of having a good fire, and maybe you don't understand the entire process because it's your first fire ceremony, but trusting yourself and setting the intention of doing the work, I think,
yes,
are good components to start with.
That's a really good word to use, intention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. That tends to be where I start, intention as well. And I think the only thing I might add to anything that you guys have said, all fabulous information for someone that's interested in this, is the only thing that I might add is when I'm setting the intention for a group fire, especially one of this nature, I try to be very aware of the fact that I'm drawing in lots of luminous threads to the fire. If the fire is the center of the web, then the entire grounds that we're on, the entire festival itself should be the entire web, and so they should be drawn in. All those luminous threads should all end up in the fire. That might be the only thing I add to what you guys have already said, because, yeah, you treat it as an ancestor. It's mankind's oldest ally. And the reason I add a lot of herbs and a lot of offerings is just because, you know, fire does so much work for us, and I tend to look at electricity is an extension of that fire energy. And, you know, of course, we've got Inkitaita, father, son. So we're always benefiting from this fire energy. And so if you want to make it a healing fire, you have to spend a lot of time showing that gratitude and realizing, having appreciation for what you're about to receive, and you're receiving all the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yes, especially since we ask the fire sometimes to make help and reinforce the boundaries and to keep the place safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing that you add, Sarah, that I don't, or didn't, at least with some of my, the proving fire ceremony is a little bit different. So I'm going to approach this from the aspect of a sacred fire. And one thing that you add that I really appreciate a lot is prayers for people's safety around the fire. In the Peruvian traditions, when we're creating a fire ceremony, you make it friendly by singing to it and chanting to it and giving it offerings. And I've seen people pass their hands right through the flames without getting hurt. And it's a very, what we call a friendly fire, where you're at a larger gathering like that, especially one where there could be people bringing all kinds of heaviness and spiritual turmoil. You ask the fire to be patient and not harm anybody, which is a way of approaching it I appreciate a lot. I think it was really important.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Agreed. So I have to get going, my friends. I apologize. It's still
that's
much
okay.
to be done here in California.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you joining us tonight. We really miss your presence, and looking forward to one of these summers when you're able to come back and hang out with us by the fire again.
Yes, me too.
It will be.
Looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, I do as well. It's great hearing your thoughts and insights. So thank you all, and peace be with you.
Yeah, same to
you. Have a great night. Well, that frees up one line there, people. So if you are interested in having a conversation, if you're interested in having some questions about a sacred fire, how to approach it, or about shamanic work in general, we can recommend books or any number of things that might come up. Don't be shy. You can call in at 877-497-2931. So, got the two of you left. I'm going to go a little bit different route, and I want to ask Tim something very directly. Sarah, there you had an experience with a message from the fire, and I always like having a humorous spot in these shows. So, can you share that funny little story of what happened to you in the message, the messenger person?
You're going to have to jog my memory, brother.
You were told to look for a person of a certain name?
Oh, yes. I was sent on a little journey, and I needed to find a very specific person. And even the name escapes me, but I walked around around looking for this person for 2 hours. I had a bottle of mead in my hand, and I was offering it to people in fellowship. That was really cool. Spirits appreciated that. I think it was also Hermes in particular who wanted me to go walking around and looking for this person. And 2 hours, and this person, you know, this person had just been picked up and followed me out of the fire and walked around with me for a while, and I sit down, and I blurt out, "Who the hell is blah?" And I'm like, oh. And their ears perk up, and they look at me, and that's me. I wasn't walking around with the person that I was looking for 2 solid hours.
That's pretty funny.
There's always something.
And that is sometimes just how the fire works.
Yeah.
Well, it is a bit of a trickster sometimes.
That's funny.
Yeah, those are among the variety of spirit experiences you could have yourself.
That's right. You could have yourself this weekend.
You could have yourself. Do you mind if I talk a little bit about the fire that we're going to be doing?
No, please do.
Okay. What I find is that a lot of people come to the fire and they're not sure how to behave or what to do. And I was, Sarantha and I were kicking around. I don't know if he had a chance to talk to you, but we were kicking around having things available for people so that they can easily make their prayers or whatever in the fire. Have you guys had a chance to talk about that?
No, but that's a fabulous idea, and I think we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, I really like that. Sarantha, have you thought about that more? Because we talked a little while ago.
Well, I know that myself, I just bought a gigantic bag of tobacco, and I'll be bringing that with. I also have some gourd left. So one of the things that I was really keen on was making sure that we have certain things available. I think I'm going to bring some tangerines with me because the spirits of Muspelheim like tropical fruits.
Okay.
But things that are good connections, especially if people like have no idea how to approach the fire or that they don't have a concept of how to reciprocate when they've received help at the fire so that we have something there so they're not sitting there with empty hands going, now what?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I really like that idea when we talked about it. Because I think, like, for us, because we've done the work so long, it seems obvious, but I know for some people it's not. And I really liked when we talked about that. I'm going to be bringing some things, too. I'm going to be praying about that tomorrow. And
good,
ready.
Good.
I was actually bringing, probably going to bring some bay leaves. Bay leaves are the accepted substitute in this area for coca leaves because it's a little bit harder to get coca leaves than it is in Peru. And so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we use bay leaves because the shape of the leaf is very similar.
Yes.
And for years now, I've been kind of looking around. I have in my mind that the Peruvian traditions, they use the coca leaf because it's so sacred to them because it helps them to survive, the mountain cultures especially, at these high altitudes with very thin air, and that is part of why it's so sacred. And I'm convinced in my mind that there is an equivalent of a local to Michigan or the Midwest plant of one that was really essential for survival. I think in some ways maybe it's different than tobacco. But be that as may, until now I'm going to use bay leaves, and that's kind of the accepted substitute. And I'm going to show people how to make tutu. They're three leaves put together and as a certain prayer offering, and then we can offer those to the flyer.
Oh, that would be really nice.
Yes,
that would be really nice.
I'm sorry, please go ahead.
I think it's important that these are, and that's a great point. I'm glad you guys brought that up because I had already been thinking a little bit that way myself, and I think that this is more than just an opportunity to hang out. The whole point of Pagan Fest is there's workshops, there's classes, there's things to learn, and one of the things that we are able to teach just by our presence is how to conduct yourself around a sacred fire. What's the way to approach it? What's the way to offer a prayer? What's the way to ask for help? And what will that help seem like if the fire wants to talk to you? How will the messages go, right? Because everybody's internal language is a little bit different. So you might need to look at someone and say, I just had such and such happen. Was that a message or wasn't it? You might not know otherwise. So I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's also a really important point that's not often discussed in a lot of pagan circles, is that it is okay to not know, to not be able to understand the spirit's message and to ask other people for help. That's what we're here for.
Yeah,
right.
That's really important because I think that people feel like something happened and then they should know it. They should just automatically... It should automatically make sense. And then, you know, the people that I studied with in my shamanic learning, they always talk about praying. You know, you're going to pray about that message for, you know, the rest of your life. It's going to mean something at one point in your life and something at a different point. And mm-hmm. so we tend to be in a hurry and not give enough space.
Yeah. And also to kind of give them the headspace that it's okay to mull this over for a while. That's really
yeah.
important.
Yeah.
We're in a culture that really is all about, I want to know this right now.
Yes. That's got to be the answer.
Well, and even amongst ourselves, the three of us, last year, we had times where we would look at each other with three different approaches, and not only in Peruvian Northern studies and Santeria background, all three of us have hung out with different Native American teachers. And there was times when we were doing something and one of the others would say, well, why are you doing it that way? It's not a
yeah.
matter of right or wrong. It was inquiry. It was inquisitive because we didn't know. And it was an opportunity for us to learn as well. And I think all of us came out of that stronger for that experience.
Yes, it really helped me a lot. That's why I keep talking about, like, you know, the things that I struggled with or what happened for me, because it was very different, but it was such a huge learning experience and such a more all-encompassing different kind of knowing about what it means to hold a fire, I think, because I was with both of you in different traditions.
Oh, I agree. I mean, there was a – having you there, Joy, made me slow down.
Oh, that's funny.
And
yeah,
and
I guess you do go fast. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you're sometimes just the presence of a spiritual person alone, just being in themselves, can help bring things to light in other people. And I really appreciated about that, about sitting around the fire with you two, in that you could just sit there being in and of yourself with that fire and affect the people around you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fire is an awesome
yep.
place to be.
Well, in a lot of traditions, what? We'd tell that holding space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not even the specifics of what you're doing. It's the fact that we as the healers or facilitators might be there, and we might be so solidly in our space that it allows things around us to go a little bit better.
Yes. And that's always my favorite part, that sense of, oh, something shifted. Oh, something's
yeah.
coming. I wonder what it is. This is interesting, you know. Then we kind of get ready, you know, kind of know.
Yeah.
But I noticed now the fire is not a hurry ready. It's coming. And that's
yeah,
okay.
It's a relaxed coming, yeah. It was definitely, I feel this. You know, and
mm-hmm.
It was fun to do the fire. Maybe fun isn't the right word, but it was good to do the fire with other people, because if I had an impression of something, I could say, I feel this, do you feel that? And then we had a chance to talk about that and get more feedback about that. And then working with both of you, everyone was aware. We all stayed aware of each other's space and contribution, and that was very nice too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice fire. People need to come to Michigan Pagan Fest. We can hang out with
yeah,
them at the fire.
Exactly. That's right. Everybody come hang out with us. It's a great time.
It is. It's really nice.
While we're thinking about different approaches to the fire, since we've got different sorts of backgrounds, anything. And we talked about the understanding of how to approach a fire. Any taboos that you guys would want to talk about? Is there anything that either in your tradition specifically or at a gathering like this that you think people should be aware of as things that are faux pas or that shouldn't be done?
Yeah, probably the first one is no trash. No trash
yeah.
in the fire. Yeah. That would be the most obvious one. People tend to want to throw their cigarette butts in there, or, you know, they just ate a candy bar or something because it's a fire. And so we don't encourage that. we say, no, maybe not.
yeah, that would probably be my number one right there, too. My number one taboo is that
know, this is the ancestor. Don't throw trash in your ancestor.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yep. We don't. I tend not to mind eating around the fire, but I think all of us made kind of the conscious decision that when we were eating, we were going to move away from the fire because it wasn't our fire alone. I don't know if I'd consider that a taboo, but that is something that we decided on ourselves.
I think that depends on the fire.
I think the only other one that I can think of off the top of my head is I appreciate when people watch their alcohol consumption around the fire. this isn't necessarily a pagan fest issue, but other places I've been, I've had people that are a little too happy around the fire. And if I don't appreciate it, I'm not sure how much the fire itself appreciates it.
Well, it's scary because you worry about their safety, you know.
Right. Right. And then we get back into that intent issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because even in Voodoo or Santeria, you'd have alcohol around the fire. Is that correct, Joy?
Usually the times that I've been in around the fire, specifically in Lokumi or Risha worship, was more about cleansing someone.
Mm, okay.
I haven't really been around that, so if that's part of the tradition, I don't know. I apologize for other people that know. I think more in the shamanic teachings and stuff, there's generally, or native teachings, there's generally no alcohol around the fire unless they're healing someone. That was
right.
Kind of been my only experience. But,
you know, I was just contrasting it to Sarah, who might make alcohol offerings to the fire. And the reason I bring that up is because I think it's an intent issue. You know, we had talked about intent, and in my mind, there's a big difference between a party fire and a healing fire.
Right.
Yeah. When you regard all fire as sacred, there's recognizing there's a difference between your cook fire and your council fire and your other fires while still maintaining that sacredness. In regards to alcohol, I don't actually, for 3 days before and 3 days after, I don't consume.
Interesting.
Unless the fire directly says drink, I don't.
That's interesting.
Because it's for them. If I'm bringing alcohol, it's for them.
Right, sure. Bringing alcohol for the fire, but not for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that for me is the maintaining of that respect. And especially because, you know, if inebriated, you can't do your sacred fire tending duties.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that would hinder things a little bit.
That's very true. I feel like I'm missing some sort of question, like there's something that one of you wants to bring up, or maybe one of you knows what someone else out there in the greater radio land needs to hear that I haven't mentioned. Do you guys have any idea what that might be?
Oh, that's interesting.
I can't figure out where I'm getting tugged, in what direction, what sort of question is out there that I can't quite... I don't understand what I don't understand. So.
Right, I understand that.
Let's see, we talked about the fire protocol and we talked about offerings.
You think maybe it has something to do with that?
It might have. So, sometimes, one of the things I had to do was teach somebody how to approach the fire to begin with. And this will differ on tradition, but this is kind of how I do it. In that, when you're coming to the fire and you're greeting it for the first time, one of the things I do that kind of throws a lot of people off is I will prostrate myself to the four corners of the fire. And that's to show humility and respect. That's to recognize that we are actually beneath fire, because without fire, our lives, whether you're talking about electricity, the candles, the gas tank that gets you there, all those things that fire does for us on an everyday. And it's our ancestor that keeps gifting to us and having that sacred connection and recognizing just how much in its presence you are every day and how beholden you are to it every day. Having that deep respect and that humility before it, that to me is a really big part of approaching the fire to begin with. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Sure. Actually, you know, I think our brilliant call screener, Courtney, our producer tonight, came up with the question that we were looking for. Are you ready for this one? Because it's such an obvious one, I can't believe we didn't think about it. And I know it's a question that comes up a lot. Question is, can anyone join the fire, and can anyone help attend? I think that's the question that we were looking for.
Yes. Well, anyone can join the fire. I mean, anyone can be there.
I wouldn't say anybody can attend because there's certain protocols that might be missed as part of that work.
Yep. I guess my answer would be looking at past experience at Pagan Fest and my past experience at fires elsewhere, people, generally speaking, have been really immensely and impressively respectful. I am constantly impressed at the quality of people that we've been getting, especially at Pagan Fest, where, you know, you get a large gathering, but we have people that have been immensely respectful and helpful. And we've had, I don't remember, we had at least a couple even last year asking, could they help in any way, shape, or form? And I think the answer to that is twofold. Sometimes help might not be with the fire, even though that's what their ego might want. Sometimes
yes.
Their biggest help might be running and getting us something to drink or something to eat or something like that. And on a more practical level, on a very practical level, we have had other people make offerings. They've put in herbs and they've put in pieces of wood and that sort of thing. I just kind of ask that they ask us first, because there's times when I would say yes and there's times I would say no. It might depend on the energy level and the things going on around us.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. What would be the no?
Well, you know, there's certain times when I view this because of the way we've been asked is our sacred responsibility to keep this fire going and to keep it safe and to make it a fire that heals and attends all there. So generally speaking, I think most of the time my answer would be yes, and I'd probably be glad to help people point out what parts of the fire need some more offerings or give them something to offer.
Oh, that's what you're talking about, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or even where to put in a piece of wood, that sort of thing. So I don't think that's necessarily bad. But if they don't have any experience with it, that might be a limiting factor that has me say no. Or say, for example, you are on the other side of the fire, and I can see that you are very intensely working on somebody with a lot of energy. And to a casual observer, it might just be you and another person having a conversation. At that point in time, I might tell someone who wants to help me add wood to the fire no, because I don't want their energy to ripple out and affect the healing work that you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally get that. I do. I remember years ago when I poured a sweat, someone came who was knowledgeable, but they decided somehow that I was not doing something right. And luckily they had asked me to teach them, so I had a little bit of sway. So I had told them that their job for the day was to only watch and not ask any questions. I gave them that job. And
wow.
And so I think that it's a good opportunity for people when they feel that way, like they feel like something is missing or something's wrong, because this is what this person thought. And when I gave them that job, by the end of the day, I said, okay, how'd you think I did, right? You know, and they said, oh, you got everywhere I thought we had to go. And I said, yeah, that's what happens. Everybody's getting the same messages, but someone needs to be kind of coordinating it. And so if you have that urge at a fire, it's good to like sit and watch, the other people and how they're working that out and how they're communicating it, because we can get to the same place from a lot of different ways. And
yeah,
so that's I always use that as a teaching experience. But that's why I asked you, because I thought that was a really interesting comment, because you could tell that people are sincere and they're really getting mm-hmm. something important. And mm-hmm. so that's usually what I do, is I just encourage them, why don't you wait and see? Wait and see what happens.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, sometimes it's a very subtle thing. We might not approach stuff the same way. We probably won't. And
right.
sometimes the most profound thing is, oh, I see why you didn't rush right over there and put a piece of wood in, because there was that little spot and you ended up putting mugwort in it and the smoke came out. But that stuff is an effect that plays itself out over time.
Yeah,
and
a lot of times it's just pacing. People have different pacing, you know,
right.
or their priority is slightly different. You know, they'll have...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I liked your answer, though, very much, because that is real important. I mean, the fire is there for all of us and to teach all of us and to make the community strong. And so by having these kind of conversations around the fire, we learn to understand and appreciate everybody's gifts and the time for everybody's gifts.
Exactly.
That was a good question.
Yeah, that was a great question. Yeah, the only thing I wanted to add in, too, is that the way I was taught, too, especially if it's a communal fire like this one, there's
uh-huh.
a certain sort of, how am I going to phrase it, energetic maturity that says
okay.
that sometimes people who are wanting to help tend the fire, what they're really looking to do is take from the fire. But they might
yeah.
not realize that's what they're doing. They do it with all
right.
the best intention, but it's the difference of what they're actually doing versus what they think they're doing. And that might be another reason to say no as well.
And that's a really good point, because that also brings up, you know, having students, you know, training
mm-hmm.
other shamanic healers or things like that. There's a pace to it and a unfolding of connection, responsibility, humility that needs to develop. And so you're kind of describing the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add in there, Sarah?
Yeah. A lot of these fires tend to be teaching fires. So I think you're right in that the pacing will speed up in some places and slow down in others as is needed. I don't think I can add anything more to what you've already said.
No, I thought that what you said was really clear, Jim.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate
yeah.
that, because I'm always humbled to hear that people I respect so much actually find value in something that I say.
You're so funny. That's a good one. You know, we all feel that way, right?
That's right. Welcome to the shamanic gaz, right?
Yeah, right.
We are professional fools.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to being there, and I'm working on packing my more things to have, you know, for people to offer to the fire, and working that out with you both, and how that's going to look, you know, and how that's going to flow. Plus, I'm interested to see how the event has changed. You know, every year there's always something new and new things to learn and new things to share.
With that, we're down to about 90 seconds, so real quick, I'm going to wrap this up by letting people know that the next show on the network here is Journeys into Wellness, and that's going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And since you've heard us babble about it all night, if anybody is interested in Michigan Pagan Fest or attending, they can look it up at mipaganfest.com. And there's ticket information, schedule information, everything that you need to know about the event, including how to get there. And like I said, I will be live tweeting throughout the event, probably sporadically, because that's how these things go. But Joy, Sarah, and Craig in absence, thank you all so much for joining me tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you to both of you, and Craig too.
Thank you all. Thank you to the gods, ancestors, and spirits.
Thank you to the gods, ancestors, and spirits. Well said. And we will talk to you all next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.